Hello, this is Dr. Wilson with Covenant Behavior Health. Today is March the 9th, 2022. I still cannot believe that we are in 2022. My, and March the 9th, so we are, the first quarter of the year is nearly over. And I know that we've all made lots of resolutions and new commitments to ourselves and the people that we love. And so I just thought that today's podcast would be dedicated to effective communicating. And today I want to talk about how to fight fair. How to fight fair in love and relationships in general. So when we talk about fighting fair, and I know some of you out there are going to pull back, you sort of feel, you may feel a certain kind of way when I use the word fight. But of course, let me say at the top of this podcast today that I'm not talking about physical fighting, putting your hands on someone, but I'm talking about fighting with our words, though, an argument, fighting in that sense. So when we talk about how to fight fair, if we're talking about how to fight fair, air quotes here, of course, there must be a unfair way of fighting, or there's a right and there is a wrong way of fighting. So when we talk about fighting fair, it's not how you do it. I should say it's not what you do as much as it is how you do it. So it's okay to fight, but it is not okay to yell, scream, throw stuff, break things, or put your hands on people. And I'll take it a step further and say even character assassinate. It is not okay to do those things. But you do have a right to speak your mind, to say what's on your heart, and to validate your feelings and your thoughts, or have them validated by the person that you're talking to, and more importantly, by the person that you love and you care about. So that's what we mean by how to fight fair in love and relationships. And if you learn how to fight fair in love and relationships, this helps you improve the quality of your communication across the board. So it doesn't matter who you're fighting with. It could be a loved one. It could be a child. It could be a significant other. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker. It could be your boss. It doesn't matter. You have a right to your opinions. You have a right to your thoughts. You have a right to your feelings. Now, keep in mind, that does not make them right, but you have a right to them, but it doesn't make it right. So today I'm going to sort of do a little tongue-in-cheek on how to fight fair, and we're going to talk about some dirty fighting techniques. And remember, I believe that if you've done any individual or group things with me, you know my philosophy is that you don't have to be taught how to fight dirty. You were born. It is deep within you in this fallen state to be a dirty fighter. So dirty fighting makes an argument even worse because it's verbally and emotionally abusive. When people use unfair fighting techniques, they disrespect themselves and the other person by using manipulation and control tactics. All right. So when we talk about fighting, you want to think about how to better get your feelings and your thoughts communicated to the other person where there is this clear, mutual, concise understanding between each other. So getting back to the dirty fighting techniques. Number one, why listen when you can ignore? Be aware if you listen to your partner, it might look as if you respect your partner's thoughts and their feelings, and instead of giving your partner a common courtesy of listening, pretend to watch TV, read a book, or to fall asleep. The more serious the topic of conversation is, the more you should ignore your partner. Eventually, your partner will stop speaking to you, and you will finally get the peace and quiet that you deserve. Another dirty fighting technique is what we call negative labels. By labeling others in an abusive way, you can decrease their self-worth. Continue to use negative labels until the other person actually begins to believe that he or she is truly an idiot or a loser. If you use psychological labels like neurotic or borderline, you will seem as superior to the other person. Trading places is another dirty fighting technique that we just use very naturally when we are having an argument. This happens when your partner brings up something that you have done and immediately you turn the tables and you complain about your partner. For example, if your partner is angry because you're flirting with someone, or you may say something like, if you hadn't gained 10 pounds, I wouldn't have to flirt. So you sort of trade places with them and you make your hurt even worse than their hurt is. And that's what we mean by trading places. And then, of course, there is to baffle them with complaints. The next time you argue with a person, don't stick to the issue at hand. Complain about other issues, especially if they've happened a long time ago. And if the other person doesn't remember the past offenses, you're in good luck, because it will look like he or she is also having memory problems. All right. These are dirty fight techniques that you do not have to learn. They are innate within us. They come very easily to us. And so we're talking about sort of this tongue-in-cheek fighting or dirty fighting techniques right now. All right. The next one is fight time. If you want to win an argument, pick the worst time to go for your partner's throat. You can have the argument late at night when the other person is ill or tired, or just when the person is leaving for work. Start an argument, and when the other person least expects it, he or she will feel defenseless. And then, of course, lastly, there is the why inquisition. Overwhelm your partner with meaningless why questions. For example, why were you late? Why didn't you take the trash out? By asking why, you're implying that something is terribly wrong with the person instead of a simple behavior problem. If you sound like an authority figure, your partner will have to answer you as if he or she were a child explaining naughty behavior to a parent. And keep in mind, these are sort of that tongue-in-cheek, dirty fighting techniques that we do not have to practice. I just want to bring some of those out, give an example of what they look like. Our goal is, because these are innate within us, these sort of just happen naturally. No one taught you to be a dirty fighter. You were just born that way. But what we have to do is we have to learn how to become a good, healthy fighter for our communication, for our thoughts and our feelings to be validated. And so when we talk about fighting fair, these are some of my 10 steps for fighting fair in love and relationships. And I want you to keep in mind that disagreements are going to come. It's not a question of if, but when. They naturally happen within a relationship. But the question is, do you go into it looking for resolution, or do you go into it with a spirit of getting even with vengeance and control? You'll never win if you do that. If you make your relationship a competition, that means you or the person that you care about the most has to lose in order for you to win. And I want you to know today that relationships are not about winning or losing. Relationships are about partnerships. That's what relationships are about. So when we talk about fighting, you have to keep in mind, if there is a winner, there must also be a loser. And if one of us loses, we both lose. So if you approach an argument with someone that you love and you care about with sort of this, I need to win this, I am right, then that means that somebody that you love and you care about has to lose. And I want to tell you today that if somebody that you love and care about has to lose, that means that you have lost also. So, talking about those healthy fighting techniques today, number one, take it private and keep it private. Fighting in front of your children is nothing short of child abuse. It can and will scar them emotionally, all because you don't have the self-control to contain yourself until you can talk privately. Don't fight in front of family. friends. Don't fight in front of children. And one of the main reasons we say don't fight in front of children is because their tiny brains don't have the capacity. It's not developed enough to really sort of rationalize out that, oh, this fight is not about me. This is a fight between mommy and daddy. So what a child would do, a very young child, is that they will internalize that fight. And just like you and I, when we don't know, we make it about us. And so that's what will happen when you fight in front of children. And it really is, when it boils down, in several states, it is a form of child abuse, reportable to Child Protective Services when you fight in front of your children. So if you have to fight, you want to take it private and keep it private. The fight is between you and the person that you're talking to. Don't bring your children into it. Don't bring your girlfriends, your boyfriends into it, because they have a natural alliance with you. Don't fight and then take it to your parents. Your parents are naturally aligned to you. They are going to hurt when you hurt. They are going to see things the way you see them. And then what will happen is that you'll forgive the significant other. You'll forgive your boyfriend. You'll forgive your girlfriend, your spouse. But then guess what? Mommy and daddy has not forgiven them. You know, your sisters and brothers, your friends, your girlfriends, they have not forgiven that person like you have. So remember, love covers a multitude of sin. They don't love them the way that you love them. All right. So if you have to fight, you take it private and you keep it private is what you do. Number two, keeping it real. Deal with the issues at hand and not with a symptom of the problem. Get real about what's bothering you, or you will come away from the exchange even more frustrated than before you started. So keep it real. Say what's on your mind. Say what's on your heart. Now, remember, you have a right to state how you feel and why you feel that way and what you want to have happen differently. You absolutely have that right to do that. But what you don't have a right to do, I said earlier, is to yell, scream, throw stuff, break things, put your hands on people. And I'll take it a step further. Character assassinate. You do not have a right to do that. So keep it real. State exactly how you feel, why you feel that way, and what you want to have happen differently. Remember, if you don't get to the heart of the matter, you're just going to walk away feeling even more frustrated about the conversation or the fight that you just had. So keep it real. Number three, keep it relevant. Don't bring up old grudges or sore points where they don't belong in a particular argument. Put boundaries around the subject matter so that the fight doesn't deteriorate into a free-for-all. Have you ever had a fight with somebody and before you know it, you're fighting about all kinds of things? And then when you walk away from the exchange, you're like, what were we fighting about? You don't even remember what you were fighting about because you were fighting about so many different things. And so you really need to keep it relevant. And one of the ways you do that, and I highly suggest this, is to sort of write down what you want to fight. Like, what is this fight about? Go into the fight sort of knowing what you want to have come out of it. And then that way, when you get it, you know to be quiet and to walk away. All right. So keep it relevant. Building these boundaries around the subject matter so it doesn't deteriorate. If you're fighting about disrespect, then the fight is about disrespect. You don't bring the mother-in-law into this. You don't bring the father-in-law into this. You don't bring siblings into this. The fight is about disrespect. And one of those examples that I like to give often is, a spouse is making a sandwich and she uses mayo, and sort of this rush to get sandwiches done for dinner, and the husband doesn't like mayo, and before you know it, it's like they're having this big argument about, you know, I don't like mayo. Why are you putting mayo on my sandwich? And so then this fight just blows up into this huge, big old thing, quote unquote, about mayo. But when we really look at it, when we pull back the cover on this fight, we come to find out that the fight is really not about mayo. The fight is about not feeling respected in the relationship. And for men and women, respect, we know, it's defined differently. And so you have to keep it relevant so that it doesn't deteriorate into a free-for-all. And the best way to do that is to sort of write it down, make a note in your phone. We have all of this smart technology that is available to us. Record something, you know, that's been bothering you or that you want to talk about, and then that's what you fight about. And when you see the fight sort of deteriorating and sort of getting out of control, one of you should come back. That's not what we're talking about today. That's not what this fight is about. We can fight about that later, but let's stay on topic. Let's keep it relevant. The fight is about this, okay? So keep it relevant. And, you know, people say, well, we keep fighting about the same thing over and over again. And the reason why you keep fighting about the same thing over and over again is because it is a grudge or a sore point that has not been resolved. And you know how people are. We'd like to forget. But it's really impossible to forget. Your brain remembers everything. Sight, sound, smell, taste, and event. Your brain is designed to really store all that information, regardless how much you want to forget it. And so we say, I've forgiven you, I forgot all about that. And we often will have challenges with this sort of forgiving and forgetting because it's easier said than it is actually done. And so if you're having the fight about the same thing over and over again, it could be that that is a grudge or a sore point that needs to be dealt with. And probably you need some skills. You need to come to terms with that particular issue first individually before it can really be resolved as a couple. Some people are men, for example, are very easy to compartmentalize things and sort of block them out and not really focus on them anymore. Whereas for women, it's a little different. I equate a man's brain to a waffle. We solve, we fix, we forget. We move on. Next thing. And for a woman, it's a little different. A woman's brain, I equate to a bowl of waffle. I'm sorry, to a bowl of spaghetti. Everything is intertwined and connected together. There is no beginning or ending. It's all intertwined together because that's how a woman's brain works. A woman's brain, there is no sort of past and present. Or past or present. It's sort of past and present, future, all rolled up into one. It's all intertwined and connected together. And so it's a lot easier for men to forgive, quote unquote, and forget, but not so for women. They have to work a little bit harder at that. Another one of those healthy or healthy fighting techniques include avoid character assassination. Stay focused on the issue rather than deteriorating to the point of attacking your partner personally. Don't let the fight degenerate into name calling. The second the fight degenerates into name calling, you really need to stop, take a break, and walk away. Once you attack a person or they perceive an attack, their brain really sort of shuts down and it goes into sort of the fight, flight, or freeze, the protective mode, where they feel like they have to protect themselves. And if their brain is busy protecting them, they're not really hearing what you have to say. We don't have that clear, concise, mutual understanding from and toward each other. All right. So the second that there is character assassination, stop the fight, take a break, walk away, and more importantly, set a time to come back and to continue that fight until you learn to control your emotions and stay in check. All right. So avoid character assassination, stay focused on the issue at hand, and don't let the fight degenerate into name calling. Next, remain task oriented. Know what you want going into the disagreement. Because again, I said this earlier, if you don't have a goal in mind, you won't know when you have achieved it. And I'm going to say this again, a really good idea is to sort of write down what you want to talk about. Write down what you want to have happen. write down what you would like to see differently. And it's really not a good idea to sort of speak or to fight off the cuff. We'll talk about this a little bit later in the healthy fighting techniques. Because when you do that, it's sort of emotionally charged. So I suggest if you have something that you want to talk about, if you have a deep, meaningful conversation that you need to have addressed, issues that you need to address, I say write them down. You know, go to sleep, meditate, pray on it, wake up the next morning, read that list again. And if those things still resonate within you, you're still passionate about them, then they need to be addressed. You need to have a conversation about those issues. But what you'll find is that a lot of times when you go to sleep, when you meditate, when you pray, and you come back and you read that list again, you'll say things like, this is not important. This is not worth a fight. Every fight that we have, every issue that we have, is not a life-threatening issue. Opportunity that we have to be angry, we don't have to be angry about it. You know, we really do get to pick and choose what we're going to be angry about or what we're not going to be angry about. So one of the ways you get to really remain task-oriented is to write down what you want to have happen, what you want to see differently, what you want to have happen coming out of this argument that you're going into, this fight that you're going into. So then when you get it, you can learn to be quiet and walk away, all right? Next is allow your partner to retreat with dignity. How an argument ends is crucial. Recognize when an olive branch is being extended to you, perhaps in the form of an apology or a joke, and give your partner a face-saving way out of the disagreement. We really need to learn like how our partners, how our friends, how our significant other, how our boss, how our children say, I'm sorry. And we often will do that in different ways. Men can do it differently than women. And even within, woman to woman, even the way that man to man, the way we apologize can be distinctly different. So it's important to really recognize when the olive branch is being extended. For some people, for men, it's to sort of joke about the seriousness of the conflict. It's to sort of make humor sort of as a defense mechanism to sort of ease the tension. For women, it can become sort of task-oriented. They want to do something for you. They want to touch you in a way is what they want to do. Physically touch you, that is, to sort of disarm and say, I'm sorry. So it's important that we learn how we say, I'm sorry to one another. All right. Allow your partner, allow the family member, allow your children to retreat with dignity. All right. Give them a face-saving way out of the disagreement. And then next is set a time. There shall always be a time limit to our fighting. Arguments should be temporarily, and they should not go on forever and get out of hand. Don't allow the ugliness of an argument to stretch out indefinitely. So one of the top things I always tell people, don't go to bed angry. Do not go to bed angry. All right. As a matter of fact, I'll say, don't even fight. Don't have that deep, meaningful conversation after 8 o'clock at night. Just don't do it. When you have a deep, meaningful conversation after 8 o'clock at night, the chances are the adrenaline in your brain, the cortisol in your brain is going to spike. And when it spikes, it's going to trigger other chemicals in your brain. And what's going to happen is you're going to leave that sort of rational, calm part of your brain and end up in the emotional part of your brain. And now you're going to be running scenarios through your head. Your adrenaline is going to constantly increase, your heart is going to beat faster, and so now you are awake and wired and very keyed up, while more than likely, one person is sleeping and the other person is still awake. And so this is one of those fights where you see the lights flick on in the bedroom and things are being pushed around. All kinds of noise has been made. Doors are being slammed because, you know, it's like, how can you sleep? I'm so upset and angry and you're sleeping like a log over there. This is the reason why we have to set a time limit. So do not fight after 8 o'clock at night. After 8 o'clock at night, you really want to start to wind down, allow your brain chemistry to recede to its normal level. You really want to allow your body to sort of relax. This is a great time for prayer and for meditation to sort of slow the brain down so that you can fall asleep a lot easier and get a good quality sleep. So never fight when someone is sick. Never fight before someone goes to work. Don't have those deep, meaningful conversations when they're leaving for the airport, on the way out of town. Just don't do that. Those are dirty fighting techniques, and it's just unfair, absolutely unfair, all right? Arguments should be temporary, so don't let them get out of hand. Another really healthy fighting technique is, think about this. You should always listen to learn. When we fight, it is actually an attempt to communicate our feelings. Allowing someone to be heard will often defuse a hostile situation. When someone is hurt and they're yelling and screaming, allow them time to vent before you respond. Don't try to get a word in. Don't even try to defend yourself when they're talking or when they're arguing, when they're screaming, when they're yelling. And I know I've heard people say, well, am I supposed to just take that abuse? No, I'm not saying take the abuse, but try to hear, try to validate where they're coming from is what you want to try to, because you want to model the behavior that you want to see in the relationship, right? You want to be treated with the same amount of respect that you give in the relationship. So when we fight, we should listen to learn. We should listen to learn is what we should do. What are they trying to tell me? What am I missing, you know, in this particular fight? And so if you find yourself thinking about what to say while the other person is talking, that's a clear indication that you are not listening, because you can't do both of those at the same time. All right. So you really need to try to focus on what they're saying. And some of the ways that you can do that is to sort of reflect back what you think you're hearing them say. I will say oftentimes one of the good ways to sort of tell if a person is getting ready to stop or if they've stopped talking, number one, is to simply ask them, are you finished? Can I respond to that now? Or to watch them sort of take that natural breath. You know, it's like the little kids in the store who's been crying and when they've been crying and they can hardly catch their breath. It's because that cortisol, that stress chemical, is sort of receding to its natural level, and they're leaving the emotional part of their brain and they're trying to find their way back to the rational part of their brain. Same thing when you're fighting with someone that you love and you care about. Allow them to sort of vent and to get that off them, off their chest, and then sort of reflect back to them. So it sounds like you're really having a hard time with the decision that I made. To whatever that is, and reflect back in your own words what you think you've heard them say, and then give them a chance to respond to that. Remember, you want to model the behavior that you want to see, all right? And last but not least is to be proportional in your intensity. Be proportional in your intensity. Every single thing you disagree with or disagree about is not an earth-shattering event or issue. You do not have to get mad every time you have a right to be mad. All right? And we said that earlier. Like, just because you have a right to be mad, just because you have a right to be angry, does not mean that you have to be angry. All right? So these are my 10 steps for fighting fair in love and relationships. I'm Dr. Wilson with Covenant Behavior Help, and I want to thank you for joining me today. Thank you.